to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the third and final hour of our award-winning broadcast this Saturday evening, May 9th. We are the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined by Bill Rowland tonight, and now being joined by Winston Smith. You've got a three-headed dragon here, at least for the next couple of minutes. Bill's about to leave the studio, and Winston is going to fill his chair for the final hour this evening. But, of course, we're coming to you, third time's the charm, for the reminder that we are coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out to our affiliate stations, satellite, and internet audiences, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network. And don't forget to check us out and to support us by visiting thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, Winston has scheduled a special guest for us. I don't know how special he is. He's special in many ways, but not because he's never been on this show before. Our most recurring guest, Ted Pike, is in the wings, and he is the most recurring guest because he has accomplished a great deal. He's a man we respect very much, and that's why we have him on so much. He lives his life on the front lines, and he's got something to report this evening about those hate crimes bills we've been talking about so much tonight. But before we get to Ted in about 3 minutes' time, I want to quickly ask Bill, before he leaves, to give us more information about the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference, which is coming up in just about a month's time in Jackson, Mississippi. Bill mentioned, rightfully so, that one of the things we can do to make a difference and to get involved and engaged in this culture war, what's left of it, is to join the organization that have a track record of winning success. The CFCC is certainly one of those. And if you come to the national conference in Jackson, you'll be able to meet me and Bill and maybe even Winston and Eddie if you're lucky. So, Bill, give them that information about how they can register and get more info.
That's right, James. You, too, can become part of the Council of Conservative Citizens by going to www.cofcc.org. That's cofcc.org. And you can find out about the Council of Conservative Citizens Annual National Conference at our website and can register there, join the Council of Conservative Citizens, register for the conference. As James will tell you, it's fantastic every year. 2 days this year in June on the 26th and 27th in Jackson, Mississippi. So go to the council website, www.cofcc.org, and find out more about this outstanding conference, which will feature some excellent speakers, some excellent programs, and fellowship with fellow conservatives.
Well, there you have it, folks. Become involved, become active, and make a positive difference for our future. Bill, thanks for hosting with me tonight for the first 2 hours and 8 minutes. We look forward to talking to you next week, buddy.
James, God bless.
Always, Bill. He does. You too. All right, Winston, thanks for coming in now and spelling Bill. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'll tell you, it is always my great pleasure to listen to Bill Rowland when he's co-hosting with you.
Me too.
You're not so bad yourself, James, but whenever Bill is on the air, it's always an inspiring show. Bill is one of those guys that can whip you up and make you want to get things done.
Well, what can I say, Winston? I like to surround myself with talent. I like to surround myself with winners, and that's why you're on, and that's why our guest is on tonight. And without further ado, I know he has a busy schedule to keep. He's out there, as I said, living in the foxholes, digging those trenches. Ted Pike, give us a little more information about our featured guest for the evening, Winston, and why he is on the program again tonight.
Certainly. Reverend Ted Pike is the director of the National Prayer Network, which is a Christian conservative watchdog organization. He's the primary national opponent of federal hate crimes legislation proposed by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. He and his National Prayer Network have played the pivotal role in defeating such legislation the last 4 times it has been introduced in Congress. You can find out more about Reverend Pike, including how good of an artist he is, and by going to, you got to find out the National Prayer Network by going to www.truthtellers.org. Again, that's www.truthtellers.org. You can go there and check out his biography, and you can see some examples of his excellent artwork, his sculpture and his paintings, as well as read some of his poetry. And with that out of the way, it is now my pleasure to welcome to the political cesspool our co-host, Ted Pike. Reverend Pike, how are you this evening?
Well, pretty good. Thanks for having me on, Winston and James.
It's always our pleasure, and I truly mean it.
As James said, you are on the front lines. You are the vanguard in helping all Americans in taking on this odious, this heinous hate crime legislation. Now, just as a brief introduction to that, for the few people who might not know anything about it, last week it was voted on in the House of Representatives, and it passed. But not before the Democrats in general, and Representative Alcee Hastings in particular, gave us a tremendous gift by enabling us to call this legislation the Pedophile Protection Act. And the fact is, that's not hyperbole, that's not wordsmithing, that's not political posturing. It's a fact of the legislation. Alcee Hastings spelled it out on the floor of the House of Representatives. If this legislation becomes law, then pedophiles will receive special protection. But Reverend Pike, I still encounter people who refuse to believe the plain language being used by the legislation supporters. Now, what do you say to people who respond to our calling this legislation the Pedophile Protection Act with, oh, come on now, that's not what this bill will do?
Well, it's true that pedophiles still can be arrested, indicted, and sent to prison for sexually molesting little boys and girls. But what is also true is that this bill puts pedophiles, along with some 547 other forms of sexual deviancy, very high on the list of special federal protection. This means that if as Representative Gohmert says, that you encounter your little child being raped by a homosexual pedophile, and the woman hits the pedophile with his purse, then the pedophile can scream, he can call 911 and claim that he has been assaulted because of his sexual orientation. Now, that in itself, you see, sends a red flag to the local police, to the district attorney, even to the federal government under this bill. They come running to him as a potential hate criminal. Now, they might find that he is guilty and he needs to be punished. But the fact is that there are many other crimes in the community which have to go waiting because the police are rushing off with the sirens wailing in response to a hate crime. And conversely, what this legislation does is if that woman assaults that homosexual, then, and she is described as a potential hate criminal, then she's got a huge bail facing her. She has probably a $10,000 retainer. She has to pay to an attorney. She is facing a possible 3 years in prison under state laws and a possible 10 years in prison under federal laws under this kind of legislation. She becomes a potential felon, a federal hate criminal, you see. So this is tinkering and adapting our traditional our justice system into the form of a bias-oriented justice system in which the actual offense is actual minimal. The real offense is whether there has been bias motivation behind it. And of course, the alarm bells go off for the liberals and the liberal justice system whenever any kind of a call comes from a homosexual or a homosexual pedophile that they are the victims of a violent hate crime.
Reverend Pike, my concern over that scenario is that we know that belligerent, militant sodomites will take advantage of some of these laws, and my concern is false accusations. We see it happening whenever there are certain crimes committed. We have instance after instance of blacks falsely accusing whites of racist acts. We have those examples. Do you think that this legislation could be used by sodomites and pedophiles in the same way?
Oh, absolutely. You see, what this does is because the pedophiles are now enshrined within a specially federally protected class, which is sexual orientation. They have rights to, and they have privileges, and they have potential to bring the police and the district attorneys running in a way that other people don't. And so if they make an accusation that they are victims of a hate crime, they get disproportionate attention from the police, from criminology services in case the perpetrator has not been found, etc. Hey,
Reverend Pike, hold that thought. We're going to continue on with more of your words right after this.
There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined now by my co-host, Winston Smith, and, of course, the very venerable Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend Pike, of course, is the executive director of the National Prayer Network, and his impeccable website can be found at truthtellers.org. I dare say that Reverend Pike is the staunchest defender of Christian values that America has, and his work in not only battling the hate crimes and thought crimes agenda over the past several years has not only been noted, but it has been successful. But as we well know, folks, we can beat this horrific legislation back 100 times. They can afford to miss 100 times. We can't afford to miss once. It doesn't matter how many times we beat them back. If they ever pass it, it will probably never be rescinded. Again, we say it's much easier to keep something from becoming law than it is to reverse it once it's already in effect. So with that being said, Reverend Pike, our past success on this issue notwithstanding, what are the odds here? I mean, be a handicapper here for us. I know that this hate crimes legislation has apparently already passed the House of Representatives. Is it coming before the Senate now? And how confident are you that we'll be able to stave off our elimination once again?
Well, it is in the Senate Judiciary now, and Senator Patrick Leahy, who is the head of the Senate Judiciary, did quietly put in the judiciary log for next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time that there will be a hearing to consider the question of federal intervention and support for local agencies and law enforcement and so on. And that's a kind of an obscure way of saying that there is undoubtedly going to be a hate bill hearing in the Senate next week. He's trying to downplay it and move it through to get out of the spotlight of public anger, public attention about this this legislation, which is increasingly being decried as a pedophile protecting bill. And I would encourage all lovers of freedom to be up first thing. Some people on the West Coast should be up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to the Senate Judiciary website and tune in on that hearings. We've got to let them know, let the liberal Democrats in judiciary know that we are watching their every move. We will not stand for the Democrats not allowing the Republicans to debate in that hearing, not allowing expert witnesses, not allowing amendments. We certainly will protest very loudly if we hear that the Senate liberals are also refusing to allow any kind of amendment in the hate bill that which would exclude pedophiles. This was the electric shocker in the House hearings in the judiciary several weeks ago when Representative King asked that an amendment be added to definitely state in the clearest possible language that pedophiles would not be given special federal protection under this legislation. The Democrats refused. You see, what they want to do, as I think I mentioned earlier, is they want to keep the pedophiles and all other some 547 other forms of sexual deviancy, according to the American Psychiatric Association. They went all of these deviant groups safely corralled under the protections of the dubious title sexual orientation. They don't want to split up this category into bad homosexuals versus good homosexuals. That would begin to unravel the whole bill. In fact, it could ultimately gut the bill because the Republicans would go in there and demand that other people, like those involved in bestiality or necrophilia, which is sex with the dead, and all kinds of other perversions, should also be excluded from the bill. So the Democrats don't want to open that floodgate. They want to keep all forms of homosexual perversion and even heterosexual perversion safely protected under one category. So the first thing we have to do Tuesday morning is we have to get up early and join thousands of other people who will be watching this possible travesty in the Senate Judiciary, because what we want to do is put pressure on Leahy and the Democrats there to know that the people are watching. They're going to watch every move, and if they misbehave, we're going to trumpet it to the world. I certainly will be giving a report after that hearing what has happened, and I hope many other people will be using their blogs and using local talk radio, even telling people in church what is going on. What we don't want to happen, of course, is for this bill to go shooting forward onto the floor, because the Democrats do have a sizable majority in place. Not only do they have 60 Democrats there, 60 now that Arlen Specter has gone over, but more significantly, there are a number of Republicans who have voted for the hate bill in the past, people like Susan Collins of Maine, who is a co-signer on the bill, Michael Crapo, who's a longtime supporter, Richard Lugar, Olympia Snow, etc. And there's probably another 7 or 8 of them there who have voted for the hate bill in the past. And so we're really not in a position now where we can even think of having the power to filibuster, which is to dominate discussion until the time runs out that's been allotted for the discussion of this bill. What we have to do right now is we kind of have to put aside reason and the need to argue all of the ways that this hate bill could end freedom or is an abuse of our justice system, and on and on. What we have to do is to appeal to our friends at church, on the radio, on the internet, and go for their gut. We have to present them with the body blow, saying this is pedophile protecting legislation. This is going to jeopardize you if you want to protect your child from a homosexual assault. It's also going to give special services and privileges and rights to those perverted members of society who want to attack your child. And what this does is, you see, almost everybody, I don't care who they are, Christian, non-Christian, liberal, conservative, Muslim, Jew, etc., we all have a visceral repugnance of the idea of grown men raping and having sex with little boys and girls, and that's exactly what this bill does. Now, a little earlier, Winston said, well, what if people are skeptical of that? Let them come to truthtellers.org. At truthtellers.org, on the homepage, right at the top of the homepage, you'll see our latest video there. It's a picture of Steve King, the one who introduced this amendment to ban pedophiles from special protection. There, in a 9-minute video, you'll listen to Representative King's excellent remarks, Representative Gohmert's very angry remarks against the Democrats for rejecting this stipulation that pedophiles be excluded. You'll also find the boner of the year, which is Representative Alcee Hastings, who is a strong hate bill supporter, and what Hastings says is that, yes, this bill will protect not only pedophiles, but 547 other paraphilias or sexual perversions. He says this bill will at last allow all of these groups and all of these deviant groups, philias he calls them, to at last find peace and live without fear.
Well, Reverend Pike, we've got just about a minute before our next break. Then when we come back on the flip side, I'm going to turn it back over to Winston for some more questions and commentary with you. But the bottom line is this. You don't believe that it's a foregone conclusion that we are doomed for defeat on this.
Absolutely not. You do believe
that we can still emerge victorious again, even in this year where the Democrats have such a supermajority, that we are not resigned to defeat just yet. Is that right?
Well, absolutely. I've been fighting the hate bill for the last 9 years, and again, we see that the
Reverend Pike, sorry.
Majority.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, continuing on with Reverend Ted Pike, the executive director of the National Prayer Network. Reverend Ted Pike was reminding us, in fact, that it is not necessarily a foregone conclusion that what's been written in the wall in pencil can still be erased if we take action now, and I am 110% certain that Ted will instruct us as to how we can take proactive measures to stop this hate crimes, these hate crimes legislations from being inflicted upon us. But before he does that, I want to turn it back over to Winston, who has also been doing quite a bit of research on this subject and, in fact, booked Reverend Pike for this interview tonight. So, Winston, I want to leave you and the Reverend to it for a moment.
Reverend Pike, between the three of us, myself, James, and yourself, it wouldn't take much time for us to come up with a multitude of laws that have been passed and that have caused a multitude of very serious problems. But in this case, we need look no further than another piece of legislation sponsored by none other than Ted Kennedy, the 1965 Immigration Act. Kennedy was, of course, the chief sponsor of the 1965 Immigration Act. And he falsely promised, quote, first, our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually. Under the proposed bill, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same. Secondly, the ethnic mix of this country will not be upset, unquote. Now, John F. Kennedy proposed the Immigration Act in the summer of 1963, and the bill was pushed through in 1965 as a memorial to him after he was assassinated. Now we have Ted Kennedy with what is probably terminal brain cancer, and he's the proud sponsor of this round of hate crimes legislation. My concern is that the Senate will be more interested in passing this odious and heinous bill as a memorial to Ted Kennedy, in addition to the inevitable references we're going to hear to Matthew Shepard. What do you think of that?
Well, there is that mystique about the Kennedys and Kennedy as a scion of the Kennedy clan, despite his sordid record, especially Chappaquiddick, et cetera. He still has a tremendous aura and presence in the Senate. The only thing I can say to that is that we have got to counter it with much more negative publicity and a threat than Kennedy might be able to muster as a result of his personality and reputation. You see, what we have to do right now is not appeal, as I said earlier, not appeal so much to reason or argumentation, but to let these members of the U.S. Senate, particularly the Democrats and pro-hate bill Republicans, know that we and our friends are never going to forget if they vote for this pedophile-protecting bill. I'll say that again. When you call in tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, to your members of the Senate and other members of the Senate, hopefully, tell them that you and your friends are not going to ever forget if they vote for this pedophile-protecting bill. You see, what we have to do is to make the threat to their political career very real. If they start getting hundreds and even thousands of calls saying that to people, will have a virtual vendetta against them, which will continue and over to the next election period, then they're going to think twice about voting for this almost politically self-destructing legislation. Now, these Democrats cannot be appealed to by reason. They have given themselves, as the Bible says in the Old Testament, they've given themselves to do evil. They are part of a conspiracy, a cabal, to bring in this Orwellian legislation ending freedom. I believe there are secret societies, there are secret pacts and agreements which these Luciferian and Cabalistic and Masonic and Illuminist people behind the scenes have entered into, making absolutely sure that the Democrats are going to vote as a bloc. But the Democrat member of the Senate can't indulge in further voting in the Senate in years to come if the people are so angry that he has voted in favor of a pedophile protecting bill. And so our message Monday morning has to be very direct. You know, I've said a lot about how hate laws have taken away free speech in other countries, how this bill will broaden into a speech crime law, how it'll unite a federal and law and local law enforcement into a police state, on and on. Well, those arguments all are kind of like throwing scrambled eggs against Teflon. They all slide off against the Democrats. But one issue that doesn't slide off is the fact that the people bitterly, bitterly resent and despise and hate this legislation, and they will remember in the Novembers to come and make absolutely sure this member of the Senate, if he votes for the hate bill, will never see Congress again.
You know, Ted, you bring up an interesting point, and it's, I think, a very powerful message. I think that is exactly what the people should say, because that's exactly what they don't do. I mean, this kind of stuff passes because the incumbents know that they will always be reelected. And one of the reasons for that is because most of the time people don't mean it. People do forget. Even if they are very upset about something, they do tend to forget before the next election cycle rolls around. And furthermore, it's hard to forget something you've never even known about. I mean, if it wasn't for you, Ted, and the radio shows such as this one, how many people would even know that something this dastardly is pending? I was talking with a member of my church the other day, and the subject of homosexual marriage came up, and I was telling him what's coming down the pike, so to speak, if we don't take action. And he had never heard, had no idea, in fact, that this was had already passed legislation in the House of Representatives. He said the same thing you hear so many people say: well, that could never happen in America. That's just too far-fetched. No, criticizing homosexuality, we're not going to go to jail for that. That's the Russians would do something like that. They just don't know. So we got to get the information out there, and then they've got to take action. They've got to be threatening. They have got to say, we will never forget. I think, Ted, you're right on the money there. And we've got to, you know. And another thing is, thinking of Ted Kennedy, I mean, I don't think this guy's ever going to die. I don't think he's ever going
to
die.
Well, he seems to be like kind of like a wounded rattlesnake that's good for one more strike, isn't he?
He has done so much, probably more than any single individual.
Yes.
His legacy of destruction reaches farther than any.
There is evidence, especially in a previous hate bill fight we had in the Senate Judiciary, that actually Kennedy is more obliged and more responsible to his pedophile supporters than the homosexuals. And we saw 4 years ago how he deferred to the privileges and rights of pedophiles in regard to the Children's Protection Act much more than he did to these homosexual backers. I'm surprised the homosexuals still support him when he betrayed them 4 years ago. But there is evidence that there is very great wickedness, even sexual wickedness, going on in the Capitol, in Congress. And these pedophile groups, such as NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, are continuing to attain greater and greater prestige, and they are wanting, making no bones about it, they want special federal protection right along with the supposedly legitimate homosexuals.
Yeah, I mean, a group advocating pedophilia, one of the most despicable crimes you could commit, they are a respected advocacy organization.
Yes.
According to the media. It's just, my God, it's wicked. Winston, your thoughts?
Reverend Pike, hate crime legislation around the world is the spawn of international Jewry. In the United States, hate crime legislation is the pet project of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the ADL. Now, why is the protection and normalization of sexual deviancies, and in the case of the pedophiles, sexual crimes, why is this the goal, the particular goal of Zionists? Why are they so determined to normalize behaviors that have always been regarded as vile, base, disgusting, immoral, and criminal? My theory is that it has to do with the rampant pedophilia in Orthodox Judaism. You've spoken on that before. What do you think?
Yes. Well, deep within the Babylonian Talmud, which is the greatest legal, ethical, and religious authority for Orthodox Jews, is the endorsement of pedophilia by the greatest and earliest rabbis. Rabbis such as Simeon ben Yohai, Johanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiba, and others were pedophiles, and they are considered today the most lustrous, the most respected sages and guides for Judaism in all time. I have an article back probably 2 years ago at truthtellers.org. Just go to the archive section, and I thoroughly document in that article that the Talmud endorses pedophilia, that is, sex with rabbis with three-year-old baby girls, repeatedly in the most vivid and specific and undeniable language.
Ted, we got to go to break one more time. Sit tight, my friend. We're going to let you give us our marching orders right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's live program, continuing on with Reverend Ted Pike. In the last segment, just before the break, Winston and Reverend Pike were hypothesizing as to why the Jewish-dominated media and the Jewish-dominated organizations such as the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center would be such advocates of something so perverse, and it was reasoned that, and accurately so, that large sects of the Jewish population do partake in these sort of perversions. But nevertheless, and I guess on one hand it does pay to understand your enemy. No matter why they're doing it, we must defeat it for a thousand different reasons. But our very protection and freedom not being the least of them. Reverend Pike, I know that we have about 10 minutes left. I want you to remind us when this might come up for a vote on the Senate. And if it does pass the Senate, is this, in fact, the law of the land now?
Well, it comes to a vote in the hearing that is scheduled on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And I'm calling people to have them tune in at the Senate.gov website. I'm not sure that's the exact address, but it's the Senate website. Senate Judiciary website, I should say, Tuesday morning. We have to keep these people under very close scrutiny and sound the alarm as to what happens to take place on Tuesday morning. Now, if it is shot forward to the Senate and it passes, let's take the doomsday scenario. It passes. That does not necessarily mean that it will go directly to the president. Number one, if we can get some kind of a concession or compromise, if we can put enough pressure on the Democrats in judiciary to actually insert in there some kind of a statement banning pedophiles from this hate bill, then that will widen the opportunity for the Republicans to demand even more concessions, to ban those who indulge in bestiality or all kinds of other perversions. There's dozens of others which are also criminal and socially reprehensible. What we want to do is to widen out this discussion, this controversy, and if those Democrats can make some kind of concession, then the Republicans can make hay of that, and there'll be a lot more propaganda, not bad propaganda, but truth being trumpeted out about how this bill is oriented to protecting pedophiles in various groups or not protecting them. So anyway, if it does go to the floor of the Senate and is voted by the majority, and we can't filibuster it, then if we have some kind of a change in the law, then it has to go into conference. These two bills now are identical. They're designed to go forward without conference. The House version, the Senate version are identical. They're made to rush forward to the desk of the president after passage without going to conference. But if there's some kind of compromise concession by the Democrats in judiciary, that means that there's got to be a conference hearing. That means more possibility for the for us to dramatize this as a pedophile protecting bill and so on, and perhaps get Democrats to defect. If it goes through conference, then it still has to go before the House and the Senate one last time for final approval. And 2 years ago, it was at that point that 75 Democrats and 180 Republicans did not give it final approval, and it was destroyed. So there are still opportunities, even though there is the diminishing returns of the possibility of success are very great. That the important thing right now is not get ahead of ourselves, but just be sure we're Johnny on the spot. First thing Monday morning to get those calls going in. And if people would like to call more than their members of the Senate from their state, come to truthtellers.org. We have the list of all 100 members of the U.S. Senate. We have the members of the 18 judiciary members. We have all the other states. And after you've called the members of the Senate from your state, don't stop at that. Call the judiciary members, and then call the rest of the members of the Senate, even though you're not part of their state and you're not constituents. Go ahead and call them. What right do they have to make laws that will put us in chains and end our free speech? Boldly call all day Monday, maybe before work or during your lunch break, and keep calling all week. Keep up the pressure. Keep reminding them that this is a pedophile protecting bill, and you and your friends are never going to forget if they vote for it. Again, those toll-free numbers are 1-877-851-6437. Again, that's the toll-free number to your members of the Senate, 877-851-6437, and the toll number is 202-225-3121. Again, that backup toll number is 202-225-3121. Now, if you have people, you have friends like James was mentioning, who are skeptical about this and think that this is really not going to protect pedophiles, you send them to truthtellers.org. Right there on our homepage at the top of our videos is this dynamic 9-minute video in which Alcee Hastings, who is a prominent Democratic supporter of the Hayes bills, spills the beans, tells it all, says that this bill will indeed protect all 549 forms of sexual deviancy and paraphilia as known to the American Psychiatric Association.
Well, Reverend Pike, I can't thank you enough for your ability to be so thorough and your attention to detail and your efficiency in getting out these marching orders and being so clear in your instructions. Winston, we literally have about 5 minutes left in this program tonight, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to make a final question or comment for our good friend, Reverend Ted Pike.
James and Reverend Pike, this is one of those issues that most Americans would prefer to not deal with. We don't want to devote time thinking about the disgusting machinations of sodomites and pedophiles and every other sexual deviant and how they're going to pass this legislation that will give them weapons with which to falsely accuse us. We would rather not do that. And yet they keep coming back with it. They will not stop. They're like predators that are very patient, and they just keep waiting and waiting and waiting for the right moment to strike. Now, my thinking is that this time we need to defeat it once and for all and make sure that it doesn't come back, because if we don't do it soundly, it will come back. And I, I, I suggest that we adopt the phrase never again in dealing with this. Let's deal with it once. Let's get rid of it. If you don't like dealing with this kind of issue, my friends, the best thing to do is to deal with it once and for all. Get it out of the way. Don't mamby-pamby around. Kill it.
Yes.
And we need to start saying to our senators and congressmen, never again. Hate crimes legislation, never again.
Yes. Well, the best way also to defeat the hate bills and in many other forms of Orwellian legislation is to thoroughly discredit the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is the eye of this octopus with many tentacles, many initiatives corrupting and destroying American civilization, world Christian civilization. So speak out against ADL. Point out to people that they are the source of hate crimes legislation worldwide. If they doubt that, send them to www.adl.org, which is the ADL's website, where they are very proud of the fact that they have saddled 45 U.S. states with hate crimes laws, and they are very proud of their federal hate crimes law, which they want to take away freedom in America, just as they did in Canada in 1971.
Hey, Ted, this is a trivial question, and we're running real short on time. Could you, if you have that information handy, what are the five states that currently don't have hate crimes laws oppressing their citizenry? I might want to move there.
Well, you can find it on ADL.org, but there's Wyoming. I believe Florida still doesn't have one. And then South Carolina repealed their ADL hate law? It's there at ADL, I think.
All right, well, we'll find it. We'll do our research ourselves on that one. Well, Ted, thanks for spending an hour with us tonight. I know you've been doing, well, more interviews than you can remember or count, that's for sure. And, of course, I don't need to tell you how important that is that you continue to carry that torch, and we're there with you, my friend. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks so much, James.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody. Check him out at truthtellers.org. Well,
bye
Winston,
now.
I mean, once again, our good friend Ted Pike on with a lot of information, and it's always timely. I mean, unfortunately, the reason we've had to have Ted Pike on 40 times over the last 5 years is because that's how many times it seems that we've been forced with the unfortunate situation of having to defeat these hate crimes bills. And, of course, he comes on a couple of times during each episode, every time one of these hate crimes bills are presented before government and gives us updates. But the reason he's on so much is because this won't go away. We're trying to make it go away. We'll talk to you again about it next week. Good night, everybody, and God bless you.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.